Hey there, friend. Life is too short to be beaten down by crazy curveballs, stress, and drama. Want to de-stress, choose joy, and get healthy? If this sounds like fun, you are in the right place. Let's get inspired by experts in happiness, health, and wellness to create the epic lives we all crave and deserve. It's time to lighten up, ladies. Let's dive right in. Welcome to another episode of Lighten Up Ladies. Thanks so much for joining me. We're actually doing something a little bit different today. I am coming at you from beautiful South Lake Tahoe, and I am actually in my Sprinter van right now here with my hubby. We've begun to make it an annual thing, and any empty nesters out there, because our kiddos didn't want to come with us. One is working and he wanted to continue to make money, in all fairness, and the other one wanted to hang out with his brother and also didn't want to be without Wi-Fi. But I think we had the last laugh because we went axe tossing and we're going to go jet skiing. We do that every year though, but the axe tossing seems to be something that has enticed at least one of them to try and join us next time. So we shall see. And if any of you have ever been to South Lake Tahoe or live here, shout out to y'all. It's beautiful out here. We also brought the motorcycle, and there's some really beautiful scenic windy roads, so anybody who's a motorcyclist can appreciate how much fun that is to have the view, the lake, the trees, and the nice winding roads. There's some curvy, scary ones, but then there's some gentle, winding ones for those of you out there. So anyways, I wanted to check in because I didn't want to miss an episode in any case. So I want to apologize in advance that I don't have fantastic sound quality. As I mentioned, I'm in an RV at the moment. We have a Sprinter van, and so nice, cozy little two-person. It's like those Amazon trucks that you see, but it's been converted so that you can live in it. And it's got a couple of burners, gas burners, and it has, you can convert the area to sort of like a diner style table. And then the two front seats at the driver's side and passenger side, you can rotate them and then put a seat there so you can have breakfast or play cards or whatever you want to do. And there's air conditioning, and we've got a bathroom in the back with a toilet and a shower. So we are all set up, and it's been super fun. We're actually fantasizing about finding a way to really telecommute. I telecommute, and my husband works where he has to show up at the office. But if we could telecommute, this would be the life. So anyways, I wanted to jump in and talk about something I know a lot about, just so that I can kind of riff about it. And I'm thinking that I want to keep these episodes to about 30 minutes or so. I'm a talker, so don't hold me to it, but I will do my best. But during today's episode, I want to share with you some of the secret causes of cravings. I have a program called the Stress and Cravings Fix, because there's just so much that people aren't talking about when it comes to cravings. Cravings is not a bad thing. It is your body trying to tell you something needs attention. And there are actually three different types of cravings that I address when I work with people. A lot of times in different programs, people only work with one source of cravings and then they neglect the other sources. And so it's hard to succeed in following through with your health goals if you have like runaway cravings driving the show, right? And the thing about cravings is that when you're able to address all the different types of cravings, and everybody is unique and has a different cravings profile, but when you are able to address them, you're able to not rely on willpower. Willpower will never override or beat your biochemistry. And a lot of times it's like what your brain and your body is trying to do to keep you safe. And that's really at the core of what cravings are. So right off the top, I want to share the three different types of cravings I'll be going through. So the first one is one that we all know about. It's emotional craving. So that's like craving type number one. Craving type number two is environmental habitual cravings. And then craving type three is the biochemical cravings. That's the wicked one that takes a lot more doing to get past it. But once you get these different types of cravings addressed, and people have different ones, and some are more significant in your life than others. So just listen through, and what I'll do is I'll share some of the details about the different kinds of cravings and some of the things you can do about it. I have an entire program that I address to go through this, so can't get it all in this episode, but I want to see if I could get as much information as I can in this episode so that you can get started and just understand how to address this issue. Because anything you try to do in health and wellness, it includes like understanding your biochemistry and also customizing it. There's no one program for health and wellness that's going to work for everybody. And this is just part of another way to really up-level your ability to reach your health goals. So emotional cravings, type number one. So the causes of emotional cravings are, we know, stress, right? If you're really stressed out, if you have a deadline, if you have any kind of family stressors, situational stressors, all of us are dealing with, you know, all of the changes that's happening with the pandemic. Hopefully it's quieting down, but part of the stress is being caused by the climate being really unpredictable, right? The last month we were able to walk around with masks in sunny California, and then now we're, at least where I live in the Bay Area, we're needing to wear masks again. And then you come to Tahoe and a lot of people aren't wearing their masks. And so it's kind of confusing, and that's kind of stressful. So any kind of stress can cause you to get cravings because you're trying to comfort yourself. And also this carries over to the next level, which is trauma. If you have any trauma, all kinds of things can trigger you. For example, if a person has like PTSD, then it could be like you hear a pop, like maybe somebody's car, I'm not really conversant with cars, but muffler, maybe whatever it is, it goes pop, and it might scare a person who's been in combat. Or I know in 4th of July, when people set off firecrackers or they shoot a gun in the air, it really triggers a lot of people. And it could be those kinds of things, or any number of things, like a voice, or, you know, a tone of voice or a look from somebody. It could be any number of things that could be triggering you to remember something that was unpleasant. Maybe your boss treated you in a certain way, your partner or somebody, and it just really upset you. So those kinds of things can cause cravings. And so just being mindful about those things can really make a difference in helping you be able to address the craving directly versus using food to comfort yourself. Because essentially, as you know, cravings, a lot of times we're trying to comfort ourselves emotionally. Other things could be, this is more physiologic, but if you're hungry, sometimes it's literally because you are feeling hungry. And so if you're over dieting, if you're trying to fast or calorie restrict, that could cause you to be hungry. So sometimes just check in, see how long it's been since you've eaten, and don't let yourself get too hungry, especially when you're stressed out. That's just a losing game. So hunger, the other thing that could be causing you to get cravings emotionally is when you're angry. So when you're angry, then of course you want to lash out at something. And so sometimes you just want to say F it, and you just grab something and you just kind of don't care, right? Because you're just feeling destructive when you're angry. So you might just grab for some food. And it's a lot easier sometimes than drawing a boundary and just saying, hey, this is really upsetting to me. Or sometimes you feel helpless and you can't do anything. So grab something, eat, just to stifle that anger. It could be like, yeah, that rebellion. And once you start eating something, you feel like, F it, I've already screwed up, you know, my healthy meal plan. I already ate something I'm not supposed to eat. And so you're off to the races. And then loneliness, when you feel really lonely, sometimes, you know, that's going to make you feel sad. You don't want to feel sad. And food is something that keeps you company. And a lot of times when we're younger, it's used to calm us down or make us feel better or distract us from something unpleasant. And so we reach for something to eat, like comfort food, like ice cream or soup or something like that. And then when you're tired, you're likely to also reach for something. This is why at nighttime, a lot of people are night snackers, because you're actually really tired and maybe you're burning the candle at both ends and you should just maybe go to sleep a little bit earlier. That was something that I was doing. I was working late nights and I was snacking at nighttime, and then I realized the pattern and I realized I'm just feeling really tired. And so going to sleep can save you a lot of calories and headache and just like the backlash of like a bad food messing up with your system. And then dieting is actually a big cause of cravings, because when you're feeling restricted, and it, you know, all the things that come with dieting, definitely for to lose weight, especially therapeutic dieting is a little bit different. You can still have cravings from it, but when you're doing it right, you're not going to feel that kind of deprivation as you would if you're literally restricting food because you're trying to lose weight. And so dieting is a huge cause of cravings. And especially as soon as you say you can't eat something, you're going to want to eat that thing. It's just how kind of things work. And so for every restriction, there's an equal and opposite binge and cravings. So that's something really to be sure to acknowledge. And then perfectionism is also something that will cause cravings, especially if you're on some kind of restrictive diet, which I don't recommend, especially for the only to lose weight, because those don't work. I think 0.001% of diets for weight loss works. So just try and not to do that to yourself. And that perfectionism, kind of all or nothing, but also negative self-talk can cause craving because now you're feeling bad about yourself and you're trying to comfort yourself. And so when you're having these emotional cravings, there's a lot to it, but things that you can do to kind of check yourself is to think like, what do I really need? Do I really need this food? Like, am I actually really hungry? And if it's not hunger, what do I really need? Something that's really great to do is check in with your body. And if it's actually coming from your stomach and real hunger, of course, then give yourself something to eat. But if it's something else emotionally, you might feel it somewhere else. It could be in your throat. It could be like, somewhere else in your body, maybe in your chest. And that means that you have something else emotionally, because we feel emotions in our body a lot of times more quickly than we do in our brains, understanding exactly where it's from. So when you check in with your body, when you feel like eating something and you wonder if it's a craving or if it's true hunger, then if it's actually craving and just more of an emotional thing, you're going to feel it somewhere else in your body. And then when you're able to identify where it is and ask yourself, take a deep breath in and out, maybe to the count of four, box breathing. If you look at just the previous episode, number 13, you're able to kind of get yourself out of that fight flight mode. That's an inhale to the count of four, hold your inhale to the count of four, exhale to the count of four, and hold the exhale to the count of four. And that'll get you back into your thinking brain. And then you're able to ask yourself, what do I really need? And then make sure that you give yourself that, because your cravings are really telling you, maybe you need to calm yourself down because you're angry. Maybe you're feeling lonely. Maybe then if that's the case, reach out to somebody who's always a good listener and makes you laugh. And then if you're actually tired, then take a nap. Or if it's late, then maybe it's your body saying, hey, it's time to go to sleep, and check that perfectionism. Another technique I like to use when I'm feeling more emotional craving is emotional freedom technique. And check back with some of the episodes. I'll link to the show notes so that you can learn more about emotional freedom technique. There's actually a tapping technique that can help you ditch cravings pretty quickly. And that's tapping the under the eye point, and then at the collarbone point, and then under the arm point. So I will also link a how to tap video into the show notes as well, so you can find out how to do that. It's really actually really cool. And the only thing that's going to stop you from being able to benefit from that is not using it. So those are some of the things that you can do to know when it's an emotional craving and what to do about it. So next up, environmental and habitual cravings. So we know what habitual ones. Some of it is just like habit. Like, for example, a classic example is when you go to the movies, a lot of us feel like we need to have popcorn. And, you know, people have said to me, what? It's just not a movie if you don't have some popcorn with it, right? And so a lot of it is just sort of like a Pavlovian. You're just used to having something to eat when you're doing this activity. Like, for example, for me, I used to just like to have something to snack on when I'm reading. And it felt really uncomfortable not to have, like, I don't know, chips or something like that. Nuts and whatever, when I'm reading a book and drinking tea. I mean, that's what I do when I read, right? I have a snack and then I have my tea. And so those kinds of things are really strong cues because your body kind of links different activities together. It's like when you go on a driving route and you kind of check out and then you just kind of like do the thing. It's kind of like what it is when you're habitually eating, or, you know, after dinner, you feel like you want something sweet. That's a habitual kind of craving. And so just to be aware of it. Plus, like if you're socializing, I know back in my younger years when I had more time to socialize, I had my drinking buddies. And so whenever I was out with them, we would have something to eat and then we would naturally have something to drink. I would have a Mandarin tonic if you're curious. And so going out with those buddies, it was just really odd not to have like appetizers and something to drink in my hand. And so that's something that just sort of like is habitual. So being aware of that, think about maybe where that's not serving you. Like for example, with the friends, maybe at some point I just get some like sparkling water, which I also love too. And maybe a spritzer or something like that. Or with the movies, maybe like have something that you're that's tasty that you like to drink. Again, my go-to is I love mineral water. It's not so for everybody else, but just think of a way to substitute that or think of like just be aware of it and see if you could break that habit. And when you have awareness, that's when you're able to address it, right? So another habitual thing is when you go grocery shopping, you have those aisles that you go through and the same products that you buy. And so a nice way to cut the cravings is to make sure that you buy foods that are, and that's the other thing that's environmental. When you're eating certain foods, it's important to know that there are marketers out there who are biohacking and manipulating your behavior. So grocery stores, they're going to put like snacks and the yummy like last minute buys right near the checkout. So just be aware of that. And also when you're in the center area aisles of the grocery store, that's where all the processed foods are. That's where all the chemicals are. So if you change your strategy when you're doing something like grocery shopping and just shop at the perimeter of the store, that means like against the walls, those are where most of the fresh and whole foods are. And when you eat whole foods, then you're less likely to feel like binging, because the other thing that's tricking you into eating more and having cravings are the chemicals that are in your food. There are scientists being paid lots and lots of money in labs who are trying to find ways to make food hyper palatable, super synthetically, unrealistically, unbelievably tasty to jack up your taste buds so that whole healthy foods don't taste as good. And these chemicals are also made to be addictive, like MSG, right? That's the thing they feed to rats to fatten them up. That's essentially what it does, but it also causes wicked cravings. And you will be surprised at what foods have MSG in it. I'm thinking about like Doritos, and I'm thinking about like Wheat Thins, things that you think might be some, like not Doritos, but Wheat Thins, Wheat Crackers. You think it's healthy, but actually it's super addictive. So just be aware. And also, you know, commercials, they know that you're at your weakest at nighttime and times when you tend to be hungry. And so when you're watching TV, be aware that when you see a commercial, maybe fast forward or jump through it, because it's trying to entice you psychologically to want that food. That totally happened to me, because I don't watch TV very much. I'm more of a geek and a reader. And I love online courses. I don't binge watch. But then I was sitting with my husband and he was binge watching something. There are a lot of really good movies out there on Netflix and on the other, like other stations. And a bunch of pizza and food commercials came on, and I wasn't having a craving before, but then I was having like wicked cravings by that point, because it was around, my weak point is nighttime and nighttime snacking. So just being aware of that, you're able to like remove that from your environment, like maybe like skip through those commercials or be aware, and just like so that you're understanding what's going on, so it's not like an autopilot situation where you're being manipulated and psycho whatever into eating something when you wouldn't have originally. And also the other thing is like, yes, processed food, sugar, and gluten and dairy are different kinds of foods that have addictive proteins in them. So that's the other thing that's causing you to have cravings. The more you eat it, the more you're going to want. So that's something to be mindful about. The other thing that I think is, it's common sense, but a lot of people don't like to do it, is to get those foods that are your trigger foods that cause you to crave them even when you're not hungry out of the house. I have a mentor that used to say, get the enemy out of the house. And so don't have any of the foods that tend to make you go overboard in the house, so that you don't have those temptations that are there waiting to beckon you. And then the other thing that is probably not thought of often is a lot of us are, they say that 75% of us are constantly dehydrated. And so staying hydrated, and they say the rule of thumb is to drink half your body weight in ounces. So for easy numbers, if you're 100 pounds and drink 5 ounces of water, 50 ounces of water, math. And so staying hydrated is really important. And we're actually, a lot of us are not hydrating properly. And so I think I'll put that up in another episode. But real quickly, when you gulp down your water, it goes through your system really quickly. What you want is more structured water, which is in the texture, the heaviness or density of the water in your body. And that's going to keep it in your body faster so that you're able to hydrate. And when you're hydrated, your brain functions better, your energy levels better, and you don't have the cravings. Because a lot of times when we think we are hungry, we're actually thirsty. I would even advise to, and whenever you feel like cravings are going to hit, first drink something. Drink some water or some lemon water, even better. And then that will tell you within maybe a few minutes if you're actually hungry. Because oftentimes, chances are that's not the case. And also, that buys you time. So you could do that tapping move or do some box breathing so that you can kind of check in with yourself. See how that works together? Cool, right? And so, again, so just to recap, for environmental cravings, get the enemy out of the house. Understand that there's marketers and businesses that are trying to manipulate you and jack up fake cravings, and they're really good at it. And something else, also social media. People are posting some things and food and all this other stuff. So make sure that you are, stick with the ones that are healthy. There are people who are posting like healthy foods, but, with the other stuff, maybe get off it, and then remove trigger foods. And then the other thing is just to be aware, just eat mindfully, focus on your food only. There's been a study that showed that when a person is eating while talking to a bunch of people, they aren't able to absorb the nutrients as well. And when you're nutrient deficient, when you eat and you don't even realize you're eating, then you're going to still be hungry and you're going to have cravings. But if you eat mindfully, that's part of the digestive process. You're looking at the food, you're thinking about it, your mouth is watering, you're chewing your food thoroughly, you've got the digestive enzymes breaking down the food, you're able to absorb the nutrients better. And when you do that, then you're going to be satiated from your food, you're going to absorb it better, and you're not going to be susceptible to cravings. So hopefully that is really helpful, because we're moving on to the biochemical causes of cravings. So there's a lot of overlap in all these, just to keep in mind, but one of the big causes of biochemical stressors, and these biochemical stressors, you are not going to be able to use willpower to override your biology. So these are really important to make note of. So sleep deprivation is huge. Remember I said that you end up with cravings at nighttime because you're getting tired and your judgment is off? That's also, nighttime is when you have a certain amount of willpower during the course of a day, and by nighttime it's just not there anymore. So if you have a craving and you're tired, but you're actually truly tired, then you're more likely to cave to a craving. So there's that. Get to sleep at a good time before cravings start hitting. And then also sleep deprivation, if you don't get really good quality restful sleep, then your hunger hormone, it's called ghrelin, will go into overdrive in the morning and throughout the day, the next day. So what you do the day before is really going to impact the cravings. And then it's also going to shut off while it's jacking up the hunger hormone ghrelin. It's going to turn off leptin, which is the hormone that tells you that you're full. So it's not your imagination. When you get a bad night's sleep, you end up like, you just want to eat a bunch of stuff. Plus your blood sugar is a lot less stable, and that's going to cause you to get hungry and angry at the same time. We all know that, what that's like. And then you're also just going to cause this cycle, because what you eat the day before is going to impact how you feel the next day too. And so it's gonna, when you eat foods that aren't so good for you and are inflammatory, it's gonna cause cravings as well. So the next day, if you have like a breakfast that wasn't the best, then it's gonna impact lunch, which is gonna impact dinner, which is gonna impact the next day. And so you want to break that cycle, and a lot of that is starting with just getting a good night's sleep. And I'm talking about 7 to 8 hours of restful sleep. And then we already talked about dehydration, but I just wanted to mention again, that's your biochemistry. The body is basically sensing that you're in a state of stress when you're dehydrated. So you want to make sure that you're sipping throughout the day. The only time not to really drink a lot of water is right before meals, because that's when you might stand to dilute your digestive enzymes. So maybe half a cup with a meal, but anytime around that. And I didn't complete what I was saying about hydration. Part of it is getting the water structured. So a nice way to get it a little bit thicker so your body can hang on to it a little bit better is something that desert dwellers did to keep hydrated, which is to eat some seeds like sunflowers or any like chia seeds, that kind of thing, with when you're drinking water. I like to drop some chia seeds into my water and then drink it that way. And so it'll keep you hydrated longer. You can also structure it by putting like fruit or like berry slices or lemon slices is always my go-to. Cucumber slices I did when I was working at a spa, and it's quite tasty. And if you're an overachiever or for bonus points, cucumber slices and lemon is amazing. And also to retain that water, you can get like a pinch of salt, and that will give you your electrolytes, which is like a total win-win. Something else you can do to cut your cravings, if you're gonna put some chia seeds, lemon water, you can also add some L-glutamine, which is really cool because it's healing and sealing to your gut lining. And if you're working out, it prevents like a lot of muscle loss. It helps also trick your brain into thinking that you had something sweet, so it can actually cut cravings. So that's really cool. And then don't let yourself burn out. Again, cravings biochemically can be caused by stress. If you have adrenal burnout, then you're more likely to crave salt. I used to not crave salt. It was always sweets. But then when I ended up with adrenal burnout, sure enough, I was totally craving salts and savory foods. And it's actually your biochemistry trying to get some salt into your body, because part of what adrenal burnout does is the aldosterone that you use when you're dealing with stress is running on the salt. And so it's trying to get more of it so you can be more adaptive and resilient. And so you end up with salt cravings. So another reason why you want to keep stress in check. And something else that could be causing wicked cravings is blood sugar imbalances. And some of the things, there are so many things you can do to balance your blood sugar. A lot of it is like keeping away from the simple carbohydrates, making sure that you have whole foods. Also, that trifecta of always having a source of protein, fat, and fiber, always clean, always organic, non-GMO, grass-fed, and finished where applicable, is the best way. Remember, protein, fat, and fiber, all of those things work to keep cravings at bay, and just as importantly, to manage your blood sugar. If you feel that you're hungry within like just after you're done eating or within an hour after eating, then check in with how much protein and how much fat and fiber you're taking in. And having a hormonal imbalance, so that's something that's a little bit more difficult. But if you're in midlife and you're in perimenopause or menopause, then you're more likely to have cravings, especially cravings for sweets. When you lose your estrogen, you also lose that feel-good neurotransmitter, serotonin. So that's going to be something that might cause you to have sweet cravings. And so you want to do things to support hormone balance and also keep your serotonin levels high in order to be able to offset those kinds of sugar and sweet cravings. And also it could be nutrient deficiencies and mineral balances. So you want to make sure that you have nutrient dense foods, not junk food and processed foods. Also, gut pathogens will cause you to have cravings. Isn't that nuts? I mean, for example, if you have a candida overgrowth, which is very common, it's going to cause gas and bloating, and it's going to cause you to have wicked sugar cravings. These pathogens are able to manipulate your food choices and your hunger signals. Isn't that super creepy? But it is true. And so you want to make sure that you guard your microbiome and make sure that you don't have pathogens in your gut. So if you suspect that that might be the case, then I usually run a lab test to check in and see if that is something that's happening. There are some things that you can do to test, there are a lot of like symptoms of it, like gas and bloating, wicked cravings, maybe having a lot of yeast infections, those kinds of things, and wicked sugar cravings, brain fog, exhaustion. There are more, but those are some clues that you might have something going on with your gut, and especially, of course, digestive issues. And when you have digestive issues, serotonin, 80% of it is made into your, in your gut. And so that could cause a domino effect of blood sugar imbalances and low serotonin. And that can, again, cause additional cravings. And nutrient deficiencies, when you have gut issues, then you're going to not be able to have a lot of good absorption. Maybe you have less digestive enzymes. Those of us who are in midlife tend to have lower digestive enzymes. And so that's going to cause less ability to digest foods, more inflammation, and that will cause nutrient deficiencies. And that will cause us to be constantly hungry because our bodies are really smart and it knows when it's been shortchanged. And so it's going to ask for you to eat to give it nutrients. And if you keep giving it like empty calories and junk food and processed food, then it's going to continuously be asking, please give me real food. Mineral deficiencies are another cause of constant hunger, and it causes thyroid issues, it causes hormone issues, digestive issues, blood sugar issues as well. And it also will show you if there's like, it could also be like affected, of course, with stress. And I run a hair tissue and mineral analysis to check in and see what your mineral balances are. Toxicities can cause cravings as well. And also just again, there are biochemical stressors overall. That's like what they are, the things that I just mentioned. And so some of the things that you can do to offset that is to check in with yourself and see if maybe you have any kind of gut issues with some of the symptoms that I mentioned. And if you're having hormonal imbalances, blood sugar imbalances, you can check with a glucometer to see if you have blood sugar ups and downs. A continuous glucose monitor is a great option. I geeked out on that before, and man, it is such a amazing feedback system to tell you what's going on with your stress response and with the meals and how your body responds, because everybody's body responds differently to different meals. And then also, just making sure that you get clean and lean, healthy proteins at every meal, a good, clean source of fat, and a really good form and enough fiber. A lot of us don't eat enough fiber in every single meal, so that you can balance your blood sugar and stay satiated for, you know, at best, you want to be a fat burner, not a sugar burner, or metabolically flexible. And so you know you're metabolically flexible if you can wait between 4 to 6 hours between meals. If you feel like you have to snack every hour, then check your protein, fat, and fiber and make sure that you're getting all of that in a meal. Oh, and I can't believe I almost forgot to mention, food sensitivities are another source of cravings. And I used to work with an influencer and a celebrity fitness nutritionist, and this is what we worked on: removing foods that you tend to have an intolerance or a sensitivity to. And the most common ones are soy, peanuts, gluten, corn, eggs, sugar, and dairy. And so if you do have an intolerance to it, then those likely are the ones that you feel bad about removing, because they're highly addictive and they cause wicked cravings. So sometimes the only way to really ditch those cravings is to remove those foods. It's not easy. There might be a withdrawal process and there's an art to it, but I've seen it help thousands of people. And when you get past the cravings, it's amazing. You get to ditch your food fear, you'll finally feel free and empowered, and you'll finally also be able to reach your health goals. I know this sounds like a lot, and if you need somebody to hold your hand and walk you through this, that's what I do with my Stress and Cravings Fix program. To find out more about the Stress and Cravings Fix program, check out the show notes. Okay, so there you have it. The top three reasons why you have cravings and what to do about it. Hope this was super helpful. Please subscribe to this podcast if you want to stay in touch so that you get a notification every time a new show drops. And please share the episode if you know anybody who is struggling with wicked cravings. And also, if you can share a review, that would help other people find me, but also let me know what I'm doing right and what I can do better. Have an amazing day ahead, wherever you are in the world, and lighten up, ladies.